From NPR News, this is live coverage of Super Tuesday. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. It's too close to call in Ohio. Exit polls show a tight race between Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum.
They show Romney winning among wealthier Republicans, Rick Santorum taking lower-income voters.
Polls are now closed in 7 of today's 10 GOP contests.
I voted for Mitt Romney because I'm tired of the Republicans fighting among each other.
I think in the final analysis that Mitt's going to be the strongest.
The Associated Press projects Mitt Romney is the victor in Vermont and Virginia. Ron Paul was the only other candidate on the ballot there.
We always win, right? The cause of liberty is on a roll, let me tell you that.
The AP says Newt Gingrich has won his home state of Georgia. 419 delegates are at stake tonight.
It's Super Tuesday, and this is special coverage from NPR News.
Joining us in the studio is NPR's Ron Elving, our senior Washington editor. Ron, let's start with what we know about what's happened in Ohio.
We know that the race there is too close to call. In fact, it is as close as it can be. And we are watching to see where the returns are coming in. I believe Rick Santorum has a small lead in the actual counting of the early returns. But, of course, we're also watching this beast we call the exit polls. And we have exit polls from Ohio that indicate this race could be going on for quite a while into the evening.
Elsewhere, the polls have closed in Virginia. Mitt Romney was on the ballot. The only other candidate on the ballot was Ron Paul. And there, obviously, Romney is winning, but it's not that much of a landslide.
It's an odd landslide in a way. It's about 60-40 for Mitt Romney, which would seem to be a very convincing win. But, of course, Ron Paul doesn't usually get 40% of the vote. And the question mark is going to be how many of those votes were really for Ron Paul, the candidate, and how many of them were against Mitt Romney, the not yet accepted front runner.
And then Newt Gingrich winning in Georgia, his home state. The beginning of a Gingrich Southern strategy?
It is, and there are states coming up to make that quite convenient for him. Next week, next Tuesday, 1 week from tonight, Alabama and Mississippi.
And looking ahead to states that may be tightly contested, states where the polls are still open today, I guess Tennessee we'd be thinking about?
We're looking at Tennessee. We're looking at Oklahoma. The polls have closed in those two states, and we don't have any returns yet from those two states. We're not really quite sure whether they're going to be close. They were looking good for Santorum at one time, but as his vote went down in Ohio in the polls, we also saw some weakening, some softening of his position in Oklahoma and Tennessee. So those are question marks.
Okay, thanks, Ron. That's NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving.
And now to NPR's Ari Shapiro, who's at Mitt Romney headquarters tonight in Boston, Massachusetts. And Ari, how anxious is the Romney campaign about this election return that they're seeing so far from Ohio, which is just too close to call?
I said, how are you guys feeling about this? And a senior staffer said to me, well, you're looking at the same numbers we are. So, you know, they're waiting with bated breath. They've got this big party going. There are hamburgers cooking outside. There's a live band on the stage. But they would really, really like to win Ohio. It's not the biggest state to vote tonight, but in some ways it may be the most significant.
Significant because it is obviously a swing state come November, and so much is on the line there in terms of the demographic of that electorate.
That's right. The demographic of the electorate, a lot of blue-collar, working-class white voters that have, been flirting with Rick Santorum, and Romney has been working really hard to win them over. Also, as Rick Santorum is fond of pointing out, Mitt Romney has dramatically outspent his rivals, including Rick Santorum in Ohio, by many orders of magnitude. If Romney were to lose that state, it would revive all the serious questions we've been talking about throughout this campaign about his ability to coalesce the Republican electorate behind him.
What about if he were to win it, but just narrowly? Do they take that as what we heard so much a week ago, a win is a win?
You know, what they like to say is this is really all about the delegates. They try to downplay the importance of the symbolic one state versus another state. They say we're marching towards this magic number of delegates that we need to secure the Republican presidential nomination. They love to point out that Rick Santorum did not even qualify for some of the congressional districts in Ohio. So they say, symbolism aside, this is the only campaign that is prepared to take on President Obama in organization, fundraising, raising, and just general infrastructure.
Okay, NPR's Ari Shapiro with the Mitt Romney headquarters in Boston, Massachusetts tonight.
And back to Ron Elving, we've heard how important Ohio is to the Romney camp, but for the Santorum camp, this is exactly the kind of state that Rick Santorum has campaigned saying he can win. He's from Western Pennsylvania. He can win in the industrial Midwest. It must be at least as important for him as it is for Mitt Romney.
That's right, and he has his event tonight, his victory, he hopes, a celebration in Steubenville, Ohio, which is just about as far east in Ohio as you can get without getting into West Virginia and then into the very part of Pennsylvania that Rick Santorum is from. So he is in the shadow, as it were, of his own hometown when he goes to Steubenville tonight. This is a place where the Ohio electorate, while of course it's focused on the economy, also includes a lot of Republicans who still want a better social conservative warrior than they see in Mitt Romney. And they're still looking for one, and Rick Santorum is the last man standing from their standpoint. Therefore, Ohio, in some respects, is his last chance to show that he can win that group.
If he were to lose in Ohio, after Michigan, it would look like 0-2 in the kind of state that he claims to be strong.
That's right. Now, he can hope to do better when he gets to his absolute home state of Pennsylvania. But even there, if this process of acceptance, this capitulation that we've talked about happening with Mitt Romney appearing to be inevitable and the Republicans finally settling for him continues, we don't know how Rick Santorum would do even in his home state.
Again, the news this early in the evening, Melissa, it's very, very close.
In Ohio.
In Ohio, between Romney and Santorum. From NPR News, I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Results are pouring in from Super Tuesday states, the 10 states where voters are choosing their preferred Republican presidential nominee. And one big one is Ohio, which, as we've been saying, is too close to call. Already, the Associated Press projects the following victories. Georgia goes to Newt Gingrich, and Mitt Romney is projected to win Vermont, Virginia, and Massachusetts.
At this hour, polls have also closed in Oklahoma and in Tennessee, and they closed a half an hour ago in Ohio, where, as we say, the competition between Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum has been fierce. Our correspondents are spread out across the Super Tuesday states today, and here is a brief sample of what they've been hearing from voters.
Well, I voted for Mitt Romney.
Rick Santorum seems like a good Christian man.
I picked the gentleman that I think is the smartest man in the race, and that's Newt Gingrich.
I wish we could take a compilation of all three, put Rick Santorum, Mitt Romney, and Newt Gingrich together, but I think in the final analysis, Mitt's going to be the strongest.
That was voter Joe Buckmelter in Steubenville, Ohio. Before him, we heard from Jerry Hodges and Beverly Cullum in Nashville and Howard Brittell, also in Steubenville, Ohio. We're joined now by Reince Priebus. He's chairman of the Republican National Committee for his thoughts on today's Super Tuesday vote. Mr. Priebus, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you for having me on, everyone. Happy to be on.
I'm wondering if you are sensing an electorate that is coalescing around a nominee or that's as divided now as it may have been 2-3 weeks ago.
Well, that might be a good question for tomorrow morning, but I don't know right now how things are going to turn out tonight. Obviously, I've seen what you all have been reporting and doing a good job, but it's been pretty early in the night, and we've got a lot more states to go. You know, I think it's a combination of two things. I mean, obviously, it's about delegates, and we've all talked about what we need to have a nominee, but also winning matters. And if you keep winning, you know, the delegate race becomes a little less important than, you know, if you have a mixed bag. So we'll see what happens tonight. Either way, we've got a Republican National Committee that's ready to go and get to work and do our part in making sure that we make Barack Obama one-term president, help save this country economically.
Well, how concerned are you that you have a front-runner who has struggled with working-class voters, has struggled with evangelicals? We just heard a voter there in Steubenville, Ohio, say, you know, I wish I could combine all three of these guys. Doesn't seem to be hugely enthusiastic about what he's seeing.
Well, you found one guy. I mean, there's going to be a lot of...
But it's been a common theme in the campaign.
Well, it may be a common theme on your show, but I don't think it's been a common theme in the campaign. I think that in reality we've got great candidates, and I think we've got a lot of excitement on our side. And here's the other thing I would just say. I mean, and I get the hand-wringing going on, and, you know, it's a tough Republican primary. I just happen to believe that that's better for our party. I know we can debate this and whether or not a little bit of drama and a tough debate is good for a party, but, you know, my experience is, you know, whether it be in Wisconsin and, you know, when Walker came through a tough primary or in governor's races across America or Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, that tough primaries, I happen to believe that everyone talking about our primary is better than people not talking about it and just boring everyone to sleep going forward with a with an election.
Mr. Priebus, I'd be curious to hear your response to a column that George Will wrote over the weekend. He said neither Romney nor Santorum seems likely to be elected. He's talking about November. He suggests conservatives turn their attention to a more attainable goal, retaining control of the House and winning control of the Senate. He got a lot of Republicans upset with what he wrote.
Well, I think George Will is really smart, and I respect him and love his columns. But I don't agree with him on this particular issue. I don't think that it's not very reasonable. And the reason is number one, Gallup and USA in recent polling last week says that, you know, we're already beating the president or in the margin of error. I think that the president's numbers are in the tank. He doesn't look good with Americans across the country. 70% of Americans say we're on the wrong track. So we're going to win the election. So obviously I don't agree with him. But secondly, you can't win tough Senate races if you blow off the top of the ticket. I mean, let's just take the race across the river here. I mean, you got George Allen and Tim Kaine running for U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. Well, if we blow off the presidential, what are the odds of, you know, if Barack Obama wins Virginia, what do you think the odds are of George Allen beating Tim Kaine? It just doesn't make any sense. So you have to be strong at the top of the ticket. And not only to beat this president and make him a one-termer and get our country back on track, but you have to beat the president because you'll suffer other losses if you don't do well at the top of the ticket.
Okay, Mr. Priebus, thanks so much for being with us tonight.
Hey, thank you very much.
That's Reince Priebus, chairman of the Republican National Committee.
And joining us now from Santorum headquarters in Ohio is Senator Mike DeWine, former U.S. Senator, two-term senator. He's now Attorney General of Ohio. And as you may recall, Mike DeWine initially endorsed Mitt Romney and then changed his endorsement to that of Rick Santorum. Are you confident, Senator, that Rick Santorum's going to win in Ohio tonight?
I think it's going to be very close. It's been very interesting what's happened in the last 2 weeks. Romney has spent more money than has ever been spent in Ohio in a 14-day period, about $12 million, we think. You can't turn on the radio. You can't stay home. You get these robocalls. They're all negative, all attack, attack, attack. So it's about a 12-to-1 ratio of spending for Romney versus Santorum. In spite of that fact, here we are, and it's too close to call, and I think we're going to be up pretty late tonight determining actually who wins Ohio. So to me, that shows a couple things. I think it shows that Rick Santorum does have a lot of grassroots support. It also shows that Romney has some real problems in connecting to the average voter.
But since Ohio is precisely the kind of state that Rick Santorum says he's going to be strong in, if he's to compete further with Mitt Romney, doesn't he have to start coming up with the same kind of money? Why aren't people giving him that kind of money so that he can buy a lot of commercial time?
Well, it's interesting where the money comes from. He clearly does not have as much money. Romney is getting money. Two-thirds of Romney's money is from people who maxed out, which to me is a pretty phenomenal figure, $2,500. Two-thirds of his are contributions from people who have maxed out. Just the opposite from Santorum. Two-thirds of his are $200 or under.
But
so he's getting a lot of support. No, but he does not have enough money, as much money, clearly, as Romney does. But he's going head-to-head with him here tonight in Ohio.
But that's one measure of saying that Rick Santorum hasn't gotten enough traction. Another is how few people, unlike yourself, how few who worked with Rick Santorum in the House or the Senate have come out and endorsed him. You're a rarity. Why? Why don't more people who know him endorse him?
I think the truth is that most people, many people haven't endorsed anybody. They've sat back. We've got a governor in Ohio, John Kasich, who made a point to say, I'm going to stay out of this race. So a lot of people just, you know, have stood back and are not involved.
You've got a U.S. Senator, Rob Portman, who's been traveling all over the state with Mitt Romney.
Well, and Rick Santorum has a former U.S. Senator, Mike DeWine, who's been traveling all over the state. And I served with Rick, and if we're trying to find a person who is consistent and does not change his position, flip-flop all the way around, I think it clearly is Rick Santorum.
Okay.
And, you know, we're in Steubenville, and there's a reason we're here. This is the part of the state mm-hmm. where it's a Democrat part of the state. For a Republican to win, you have to carry this part of the state, or at least run better than most Republicans usually run. You have to get those people we used to refer to as the Reagan Democrats. Right. Rick Santorum, he'll do it. He'll do it in the fall.
Mike DeWine, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
That's Ohio Attorney General, former U.S. Senator Mike DeWine.
And Robert, let's recap where we are with the states that have voted so far or where polls have closed. Newt Gingrich has claimed one state, according to the Associated Press projections. That's his home state of Georgia. Mm-hmm. Mitt Romney has picked up Vermont, Virginia, and Massachusetts. Ohio, as we've been saying, too close to call. We're waiting for results from Oklahoma and Tennessee, which also closed moments ago. Later on, caucuses in North Dakota, Idaho, Alaska. And we're joined here in the studio to make sense of it all by E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Matthew Continetti with the conservative online newspaper, The Washington Free Beacon. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hello.
Good to be here. Happy Super Tuesday.
Happy Super Tuesday to you. I see you pouring through some exit polling data, E.J. Is that what you got in your hand there?
I do.
What's jumping out at you?
A couple of things jump out at me. First of all, I do think Ohio is everything tonight. It looks like Romney is carrying Vermont, Massachusetts, Virginia, because he only has Ron Paul against him there. Santorum looks, from what the networks are putting up, to be doing quite well in Oklahoma and Tennessee. I think if Romney manages to carry Ohio, it's going to be a huge blow to Santorum, and I think you'll begin to see the party fall in line. If he loses tonight, all the stories about Romney weakness come back. Mm-hmm. A couple of things in the exit polls jump out at me in terms of problems Romney may have. There was a very interesting question, regardless of how you voted, which one of these candidates do you think best understands the problems of average Americans? And in a state that we know is split very closely between Romney and Santorum. Santorum beat Romney on that measure by 3-2. And I think this points to how this race has sort of undercut Romney, you know, his comments about two Cadillacs and all of that. If he does win tonight and starts closing this down, he's sure got to change his image vis-a-vis average Americans.
And Matt Continetti, what are you thinking as you watch these returns and specifically as you keep an eye on Ohio?
Right. And I agree with EJ that Ohio is important. I mean, not only for the cultural reasons that EJ lined out, but also the geographical ones. You know, I was just sitting here going through, when was the last time the Republican Party nominated someone from what we'd call the Northeast Corridor line on the Amtrak? And really, I think you have to go to 1948 and Tom Dewey.
There was some
Connecticut. It didn't work out very well.
There were some Connecticut refugees, though.
But they migrated southward before they got it, right? And so you just have to look at it from that point of view, and for this kind of reluctance of the Republican Party to embrace this Northeastern Republican, Mitt Romney, if he demonstrates that the Republicans in Ohio do accept him, I think there will be a huge spur to his winning the nomination eventually.
Are we at one of those odd moments? I realize I've asked this question before this season, where if Mitt Romney loses Ohio by a whisker, it's a disastrous evening for him, and if he wins it by a whisker, he's the electable, inevitable candidate?
Well, that seems to be the way that the race has been covered to date. Mm. I mean, and still there's a long way to go until you get to those 1,100-some delegates to win the nomination. But, of course, I also keep thinking of 2008 when the current president lost the Democratic primary in Ohio, but that didn't stop him from winning the presidency.
I think it's true that whoever wins by whatever margin in Ohio wins a lot. I think a couple of points. One is it's interesting that Santorum's victory party is in Steubenville. And it's a sign of the organizational problem Santorum has that he has no delegates on the ballot in that district. Mm-hmm. There are several, I think three districts where Santorum didn't even file delegates. So he could carry that district, carry the state,
and get no
still
delegates.
Not get delegates in that district.
Thanks to you both, E.J. Dionne, Washington Post columnist, also senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, and Matthew Continetti, editor-in-chief of the conservative online newspaper, The Washington Free Beacon. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
This is NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of Super Tuesday. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. A reminder of what we know so far. Polls have now closed in 7 of the 10 states holding Republican contests today. The Associated Press projects Mitt Romney as the victor in 3 of those states, Vermont, Virginia, and Massachusetts.
And the AP has called Georgia for Newt Gingrich. We're still watching the vote tallies in Oklahoma, Tennessee, and above all, Ohio. Ohio being the big question mark tonight. And later this evening, caucuses will conclude in Alaska, also Idaho, and North Dakota.
And we're joined now by a senator from North Dakota, Senator John Hoeven, Mitt Romney supporter. Welcome to the program, Senator Hoeven.
How are you, Melissa?
I'm fine, thanks. Thanks for being with us. The result from Ohio, I'm assuming you would have wanted this not to be quite such a nail-biter. What do you think's going on?
Oh, I think it will be close. That's been the projection all along. Actually, Senator Santorum was ahead, and I think Governor Romney's picked up a lot of momentum. And I think that it will be close, but I think that Governor Romney will win it.
Why are you so convinced? What are you seeing going on in Ohio that you think is tipping it in his direction?
You know, he's worked hard up there. Rob Portman, very good friend of mine, Senator Portman, has been up there campaigning with him, and he tells me that he feels that Governor Romney is picking up momentum. And so I think it will be close, but I think Governor Romney will be the winner at the end of the evening.
Senator Hoeven, are you concerned about an enthusiasm problem here when exit polls show that a lot of voters, 41% of voters, strongly backed their candidate who went to the polls today? That's not a ringing endorsement for these candidates, any of them, really.
You know, I'm really not. This is a tough process, and we have good candidates, and they're working hard, and they're debating the issues. And so, I mean, I think this is how the primary process works. And I think what you're going to see is that Governor Romney is going to come through it, that he has the right focus, a focus on job creation. Job creation is job one. I think it's going to carry him to the nomination, and I do think he'll be elected president.
How do you think he overcomes a fairly widespread distrust among evangelical voters who are such a key voting bloc?
You know, I think he brings a lifetime of achievement, of being a person of thoughtful moderation, a business person, somebody who understands how we can get our economy going, who cares about people. And I think those things in the long run are going to be the most important things for, you know, as we go to the polls and as people look to the future.
And how do you think he's going to do it in your home state of North Dakota tonight?
Well, you know, it's going to be challenging in our state, honestly, because we are a caucus state.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Ron Paul is there tonight in Fargo. And Senator Santorum has been up there campaigning, done an outstanding job. So, frankly, our state's going to be a challenge for Governor Romney.
You think it might be a state that he doesn't win, or just that he doesn't win by very much?
Honestly, with the caucus approach, it's going to be a challenge for him.
Really?
So we'll see. But, I think it's going to be a tough race up there between the three of them, between Paul and Romney and Santorum.
Okay. Well, Senator Hoeven, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Melissa.
That's Senator John Hoeven of North Dakota.
And now on to Gingrich headquarters in Georgia, his home state. He carried it today. And NPR's Kathy Lohr is at the Renaissance Atlanta Waverly Hotel in Atlanta. What did Gingrich's camp say about this, his people say about this win?
You know, we are still waiting to hear from Gingrich this evening. He has not come out yet. He's probably about 20 more minutes, they say. There is a huge crowd, and every time the TV screens show that Georgia has gone for Gingrich, the crowd, the cheer goes up, and people are waiting.
How did he campaign in Georgia? What was the Gingrich campaign like?
Gingrich, as he has across the country, he has actually been, he keeps saying he's focusing on big ideas, big solutions. He's now got his $2.50 a gallon gas that he's trying to put forth. And in fact, they've got some big gas pump outside here and a box for donations. So he really hit Georgia hard, saying that he had to win Georgia to go on and to be considered a real candidate.
The $2.50 gas campaign, that's Newt Gingrich says, if you elect him president, gasoline will be down to $2.50 at the pump.
He says that. You know, there are a lot of people that argue with him or might disagree with him, but he says that his policies, including drill, baby, drill, and including lower taxes, would actually bring about what he says, 258 or so gasoline.
Well, Gingrich can now claim a win in two southern states, in South Carolina and in Georgia. Do you get the sense that this is boosting the campaign contributions they're receiving and giving some renewed life to the campaign?
Gingrich has, he has said all along that he's planning to stay in, but I do think that this kind of a showing, and you can hear the cheers going up now, I think this kind of a showing gives people here some faith that his candidacy is real. I mean, I have people to say to me just in the last few minutes, Gingrich can win if people focus on the issues and if they stop looking at his past. And here we go. Just hear the chant.
I
the
can
cheers.
Hear it, yes. A lot of people there, it sounds like.
And, hundreds of people.
And just briefly, Kathy, the next states that he'll be looking at on the primary schedule?
Yes, he's looking at Alabama and Mississippi. He was already in Huntsville, Alabama today. He's going to be back in Alabama tomorrow, Mississippi later in this week, and Kansas after that. And he says he has a real chance of doing well in those states.
Okay, thanks. Kathy Lohr. NPR's Kathy Lohr speaking to us from what sounds like a very excited exuberant scene at Gingrich headquarters in Atlanta.
And we're joined now by the exuberant Ron Elving, NPR's senior Washington editor. And Ron, bring us up to date. We have seven states where the polls have closed. What do we know so far?
We know that Newt Gingrich, as we've just heard, has won Georgia. Yes. That seems to be his lone win tonight. We know that Virginia has gone for Mitt Romney. It was only a two-candidate race in Virginia, Mitt Romney and Ron Paul. Mitt Romney won about a 60-40 victory there. Much easier for Mitt Romney in his home state of Massachusetts, where he was governor, one of his home states, and just to the north in Vermont, which also borders on another Romney home state in New Hampshire. He also has won in that primary.
Which leaves Ohio. And we haven't talked about Oklahoma or Tennessee.
That's right. Oklahoma and Tennessee do look like they're good states for Rick Santorum, which they have been for many weeks now, ever since he emerged as the leading candidate other than Mitt Romney, after he became the main alternative. And he's been doing very well in those two states. He appears to be running ahead in those two states, but we're not ready to call them at this point. Mm-hmm. And Associated Press has not called them yet at this point. And Ohio then is the focus. Ohio is much too close to call and looks like it's going to keep us up late tonight.
66 delegates at stake in Ohio, is that right?
That's right. Now, Georgia has 76 delegates, even though it has a smaller population than Ohio. That's because Georgia votes more Republican and voted for John McCain in 2008. They get a bonus.
And again, we could be looking at a weird result where somebody may win a state but not take the majority of the delegates. Is that right?
Well, the big problem for Rick Santorum in Ohio is that he did not get his slates in all the districts. So that's going to cost him a number of delegates, even if he does win the state of Ohio.
Okay, Ron, thanks so much. It's NPR's senior Washington editor, Ron Elving.
This is special coverage of Super Tuesday from NPR News.
From NPR News, this is live coverage of Super Tuesday. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Robert Siegel. It's a tight race between Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum in Ohio.
Romney is the winner in Massachusetts, Vermont, and Virginia, according to the Associated Press.
And the AP says Newt Gingrich has won his home state of Georgia.
It's special coverage of Super Tuesday from NPR News. And NPR's Mara Liasson joins us here in the studio, national political correspondent. Mara, what's your take on what you're seeing specifically out of Ohio and the close race that seems to be shaping up there?
Well, it's following exactly what the polls had showed us in the last couple of days. Rick Santorum, who came into Ohio with a lead, saw that lead shrink. And it's been a really familiar pattern during this primary. Mitt Romney brings his superior resources and organization to bear. He outspent Santorum on the air about 6-1. And the polls were tied. And the results are tied, too. So Ohio is the big prize. Ohio is the big test for Romney to see if he can do well against among the white working class, to see if he can do well to win the primary in a state that is a must-win battleground for Republicans in the fall. It's not a state he has to win in order to continue his quest for the nomination. He's going to end up with delegates no matter what. He might even end up with more delegates than Rick Santorum, even if Santorum wins the popular vote, because Santorum, I think, didn't file a slate of delegates in three CDs.
Congressional
districts. I do think it's a must win for Rick Santorum if he wants to slow Romney's momentum down.
And if you're Rick Santorum, I suppose you could make the argument, look, I was outspent 6-1. Mitt Romney should have done a whole lot better than he did if it is, in fact, as close as it looks to be
right now. You can make that argument, but over time it won't matter much because now we're into the delegate hunt. Yeah. Momentum has proven to be a very fleeting, ephemeral thing. Maybe it's been non-existent, actually. So momentum doesn't mean much. And I think Santorum missed his best chance in Michigan to actually derail Romney. At this point, it's a long, hard slog for delegates. And if he doesn't win Ohio, I don't know how he makes the argument that he can get to 1144 before Romney does.
That's NPR's Mara Liasson. Robert?
NPR's Don Gagne, our national political correspondent, is at Santorum headquarters in Steubenville, Ohio, at the high school. And Don, do people there think they're going to win it tonight in Ohio?
They actually feel like their guy has a pretty good chance. They're encouraged by how close it is. They cheered when the Oklahoma news went up and when they saw some numbers from Tennessee. But it's interesting, you know, even before the polls closed, some Santorum aides were out here and they were kind of spinning us in advance about how, you know, tonight doesn't really matter that much. We know it's going to be close. And guess what? We go on from here because the next round of states.
Don, I think we've just lost Don Gagne, who's cut off for us. He's in Steubenville, Ohio, at Rick Santorum headquarters. You know, I was Mara Liasson, I was just going to ask Don, Ohio, this is exactly the kind of place that the whole theory of the Santorum campaign is based on. This is where he's supposed to be good.
That's absolutely right. Ohio is like Michigan, only more so, and without the home state advantage for Romney. There are more evangelicals there proportionally. There are more white working class voters. There are more voters without college degrees, and there are more rural voters. So all that kind of added up to a real Santorum-friendly state. But he hasn't been able to put Romney away yet there, and that's what we saw in Michigan, too. I mean, organization and resources do matter.
Mara, is this right? I'm curious about this because Rick Santorum makes much of his Catholic faith, and I think I have read that he has lost the Catholic vote in every primary. Is that true?
Yes. Well, it is, and that's kind of mystifying. I saw earlier exits from Ohio saying he was losing that Romney was doing better among Catholics there too. Now I can't explain that. Mm-hmm. You could say maybe it's because he said something bad about John F. Kennedy's speech. he said something really bad, like he was going to throw up when he thought about it.
But he was losing those voters in other states before.
Yes, he was losing those voters before. That is a really interesting question because he is a conservative Catholic. If there's any group he should be cleaning up with, it's them.
But he is cleaning up among evangelicals.
Yes.
Yes.
He's also doing rather well with lower income Republican voters.
Yes, now that makes
a real class division between the Romney and Santorum
there. And he is the blue collar Republican Tribune, but he hasn't been able to leverage it into the big wins yet.
Okay, that's NPR's Mara Liasson talking with us about the campaign of Rick Santorum. And tonight, in the most important state, I think we can say, Ohio, it is a very close race, and it could be some time before we know whether it's a Santorum win or a win for Mitt Romney.
It could be a very long night, Robert.
Yes, thanks for mentioning that.
You're listening to Special Coverage from NPR News.
From NPR News, I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. More than 400 delegates are at stake tonight in Republican primaries and caucuses. That's far more delegates than the sum of all the previous contests. And we're starting to see how Super Tuesday is shaping up for the four Republican candidates.
We do not have results yet in for any of the closely contested states. Ohio, the most prominent prize, is still too close to call. It could go either to Mitt Romney or to Rick Santorum. The Associated Press projects victories for Mitt Romney in the state where he was governor, Massachusetts, along with Vermont and Virginia. Of course, in Virginia, the only other candidate who got on the ballot was Ron Paul, and he's been running about 40% of the vote there. And according to the AP, the one state that Newt Gingrich has taken is Georgia, and that's where we're going to hear from former Georgia Congressman Bob Barr, who served with Newt Gingrich when he was Speaker of the House, and he has endorsed Gingrich, and he's joining us now from his home. Welcome to the program once again, Congressman Barr.
Robert, thank you. It's good to be with you all this evening.
Now, we see a win here for Newt Gingrich in Atlanta, building upon one in South Carolina. But when you try to figure out how this campaign could ever amass as many delegates as that of the Romney camp, it just doesn't seem to add up. Can you actually describe in brief some way in which Newt Gingrich could move from here to being the person nominated in Tampa?
Listen, I did very, very poorly in calculus in college, so I wouldn't dare try to analyze the figures and so forth. But the one thing I'll say about Newt is, you know, when he got into this race last year, people wrote him off month after month after month. But I tell you, I've seen this with Newt ever since I met him before I was elected to the Congress, and he was a junior congressman down here in Georgia. He is the hardest working individual I think I've ever met, and he's also the smartest. Now, he has his flaws, certainly, but you take that combination of tremendous energy, tremendous intellect, and anything can happen. So I think...
Well, let me ask you this.
...run a very untraditional campaign, and who knows where it's going to take him.
Doesn't he have to win someplace out of the South pretty soon?
Well, and there are a lot of primaries, and a lot of them with, as the one here in Georgia today, with proportional delegates. So he can pick up a lot of delegates without necessarily winning states in order to be, you know, if not the front runner going into the convention, certainly a force to be reckoned with.
Ah, now that's what I want to get. That's what I want to get to. What does that mean to you, a force to be reckoned with? People who stay in the race, even if they... they may not have much of a shot of the nomination. What's in it for them?
Well, what's in it is ideas, and Newt is first and foremost an idea man, and he would like to see some substantive ideas truly incorporated not only into the party's platform, which doesn't always necessarily mean an awful lot after it's voted on and passed at the convention, but in the next administration. Newt has ideas. He wants to be a factor. He wants to be a part of that. And having significant delegate strength going into the convention, particularly if no single candidate has a majority at that time.
Running for the ticket? Running for a place on the ticket or a seat in the cabinet?
Oh, I think I can imagine Newt taking either of those things if it's offered to him. Again, I haven't talked to him about that. I'm just, you know, giving my own opinion.
I understand.
Absolutely, I can see that happening.
Well, Bob Barr, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Always a pleasure.
Former Georgia Congressman Bob Barr.
And we're going now to Tennessee, to Blake Farmer, who's with Nashville Public Radio. The polls closed in Tennessee about 40 minutes ago. We have not projected a winner there yet. The results that I'm looking at, Blake, are showing with about 2% of precincts reporting. Rick Santorum is in the lead with about 45% of the vote. Mitt Romney behind him, about 28%. But again, that's very early. What are you hearing from voters?
Ran into bunches of Santorum supporters at the polls today, you know, and like we've heard, some of the first words out of their mouths are Christian, family values, even pro-life here and there. You know, a poll released over the weekend found people here in the state who consider themselves churchgoers do prefer Santorum over Mitt Romney, like 6-1 here in the state.
You're at, I believe, at the Tennessee GOP War Room, is that right?
That's correct, here at the Country Music Hall of Fame.
So war and country music mingled in together, politics and country music. What's the thinking among party operatives there in Tennessee about a candidate who can do well in the South and do well in November?
You know, the thinking here, we don't have any candidates here in the room, right? So you mostly have state party folks, and they're not really picking a winner here or there. They're just sort of saying turnout is strong, and we're waiting to hear who Tennessee's going to pick.
And I should mention that the Associated Press has just projected that Rick Santorum, in fact, is the winner there in Tennessee. I hear no country music behind you at all, Blake. I think this is a quiet night at the Country Music Hall of Fame.
It is not a party atmosphere. It's mostly media types and party operatives. But, certainly I ran into folks who will be cheering in their homes at the news that Santorum may win Tennessee.
Would there be surprise there that Newt Gingrich, a Southerner himself, did not do better in Tennessee? It looks like he's coming in third.
Well, Santorum has done very well in polls just released in the last few days. And what the returns we have so far are from early voting, a period that was over more than a week ago. Mm-hmm. So we could still see him come up in the returns, though I guess looks doubtful that he'll pick up much on Santorum or Romney.
Okay. Blake Farmer with Nashville Public Radio. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And now to Columbus, Ohio, where NPR's Tamara Keith is joining us. She's been covering the race in Ohio for the past week, talking with voters, also traveling with the Romney campaign. And there also are some congressional primaries occasioned, I guess, in part by redistricting in Ohio. What's going on there?
Yes, well, the big one that's being watched here is in the 9th District. It's Dennis Kucinich and Marcy Kaptur. They're both long-serving Democrats, though Marcy Kaptur has served longer than Kucinich. And thanks to redistricting, they're going head-to-head in this primary fight. And by the numbers, it would appear that Kaptur was given a slight advantage in the redistricting, though the returns coming in at this point, it is way too soon to tell. We just don't have very many returns in yet.
By the numbers, you mean there's more of her district in the new district than there is of the old
slightly
Kucinich
more
district.
Of, yeah, I think it was about 47% of her district is in the new district, and 40% of Dennis Kucinich's district is in the new district. But his strongest area is in the new district, so it's unclear exactly how this is going to turn out. And then, interestingly, in the Republican primary in that same district, one of the candidates running is a Sam Wurzelbacher, who would be better known as Joe the Plumber.
So on the Democratic side, you have two very, very liberal Democrats going against each other in that
Indeed.
Ohio 9th. And then down in Ohio 2, around Cincinnati, a very conservative Republican has a primary opponent.
Yes, that's Republican Jean Schmidt in the Cincinnati area. And she is facing a primary challenge, not because of redistricting, but because she basically people in her party aren't happy and they're running against her.
So we have the two congressional primaries you've mentioned. And again, still the statewide race, the primary race for president, very, very close there between Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum.
Incredibly close. You know, both of the candidates, both Romney and Santorum, spent a ton of time in this state. It's very important to both of them. You know, Mitt Romney spent 4 out of the last 6 days here. Rick Santorum spent a lot of time, did sort of a bus tour yesterday. And for both of them, it's a win would be important for different reasons. For Rick Santorum, it would give him that momentum. For Mitt Romney, it would prove that he can come from behind. And it also, it shows that if you throw enough money at something, you can make up 10 points in the polls in a week, potentially.
Okay. Thanks, Tamara.
Thank you.
NPR's Tamara Keith in Columbus, Ohio.
And for some analysis of what we're seeing from the exit polls today, we're joined by Andrew Kohut, president of the Pew Research Center. Andy, what jumps out at you? What have you seen specifically in these polls from Ohio?
Well, what's really important, as Mara was pointing out, Romney and Santorum divide along class lines, mm-hmm. with Romney doing very, very well among college graduates and among the affluent Ohioans. But when you get down to poor or less well-educated, the race is fairly even. In other words, it's not a great Santorum route there of Romney. It's even. But if we turn our attention from Ohio to Tennessee and Oklahoma and look at these same patterns, we have a really different story. Hmm. Because in those places, Romney doesn't have the dominant lead among college graduates and among affluents over Santorum. But what happens is when you look at poorer people in Ohio and Tennessee and Oklahoma and not college graduates, Santorum has this enormous lead. And Santorum doesn't have a big lead under less well-educated and less affluent Ohioans. So the difference between these two states, where Santorum's comfortably ahead, if not has won, is that he really did well among working class people. And in a funny way, Romney's holding his own in Ohio among working class people, not succeeding, but he stays in the race because he's so dominant among the more affluent people. But that's not the case in these southern states.
And one of the questions that we've been trying to track this hour, Andy, has to do with enthusiasm and what voters are saying about how strongly they feel about the candidate for whom they're voting. What did the exit poll show?
Well, the exit poll in Ohio showed that only half the people said they strongly supported their candidate. And that was true for people who picked Santorum and people who picked Romney. And it mirrors what we see in the national polls of Republicans. This is a field that is not well regarded. It's a field that has become less well regarded as time has gone on, and the Republicans have heard more about their candidates. But they are indeed making choices, and the kinds of choices and the patterns of the choices are very different in Ohio versus Tennessee and Oklahoma.
Given what's been going on with some hotly debated social issues over the last couple of weeks, are you seeing anything in any sort of gender gap that seems to be indicative of anything going on at all?
A very, very thin gender gap, not even statistically significant in Ohio. Among men, it's 36 Romney, 36 Santorum. Among women, it's 40% Romney, 37, a three-point gap. Nothing very much. I think that's probably pretty comparable, and I haven't looked in other places, been looking at Ohio, but it doesn't jump out the way the gender gap has favored Romney in other places. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of surprising because these social issues have been more prominent now than they were back in Iowa and New Hampshire.
Yeah. And one thing, Andy, we were puzzling through with Mara a little while ago is that Rick Santorum, a devout Catholic, has lost the Catholic vote in every primary so far. Is there anything that you see in the numbers that would explain why that would be?
Well, what I see is that he's losing it again. In Ohio, it's 43-30.
But no why attached to that.
No why attached to it. It's probably related to a lot of these other class and mm-hmm. and other elements in the mix. But that's a good research project for
what's going on with the Catholic vote.
I'll take that one.
Okay.
Home.
Andrew Kohut, president of the Pew Research Center. Andy, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
This is NPR News. From NPR News, this is special coverage of Super Tuesday. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Here's the tally as it currently stands. The Associated Press projects Rick Santorum the winner in Tennessee. According to the AP, the following states go to Mitt Romney: Vermont, Virginia, and Massachusetts. And Newt Gingrich has scored one state tonight, Georgia.
Minutes ago, he began addressing supporters in Atlanta.
I hope the analysts in Washington and New York, who spent June and July explaining our campaign was dead, will watch this tonight and learn a little bit from this crowd and from this place.
Newt Gingrich speaking in Georgia, where he won today, and we're keeping a particularly close eye on Ohio, which is still far too close to call. The race there is between Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum.
And we're joined now by a congressman from Ohio, Representative Mike Turner, who represents Ohio's 3rd congressional district in the southwestern part of the state. Congressman Turner, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
And what are you hearing from your home district about how things went for your candidate, Mitt Romney, today?
Well, there was a great deal of excitement building for Mitt Romney because people know that the most important issue facing Ohio, which really is an issue facing our country, is the economy, producing jobs. Mitt Romney's message of his experience, his accomplishments, knowing that a guy like Romney both understands the to-do list, creating jobs, cutting out-of-control spending out of Washington, and can accomplish the to-do list, made a difference for a lot of voters.
Do you accept the argument that Governor Romney has a problem with optics and also may appear to be tone deaf in relating to the needs of working class voters when he talks about being friends with NASCAR owners or, you know, his wife driving a couple of Cadillacs? Do you think that's a problem for him?
Well, I think that a lot of the comments have been taken out of context. You know, when someone is being conversational, I think when you look at what he has done and what he has accomplished, you know, certainly when he served as governor of Massachusetts, the things that he accomplished there, certainly were for a broad spectrum of those that that both were in need and that he showed a significant interest in.
I wonder if you think, Congressman Turner, that Mitt Romney would be well served to have a victory notched in a southern state to be able to show that he can compete if he is the nominee against President Obama in November.
Well, I think you're definitely seeing that momentum. And people are beginning to look at Rick Santorum's campaign and Newt Gingrich's campaign, and they're now aware that in Ohio, Rick Santorum didn't even file all of the delegates that were necessary to get on the for his being on the ballot to be effective. And then in Virginia, Rick Santorum and Newt Gingrich didn't even get on the ballot. So people are saying, now, wait a minute. You know, the running for president is sort of a competency test. And if you can't even get on the ballot, you can't effectively run for president. How could you face Obama in November? But more importantly, how could you even stand as president if you can't pass the competency test?
You mentioned Virginia, where it is just Mitt Romney and Ron Paul on the ballot. Ron Paul, with about 94% of precincts reporting, kind of about 41% of the vote, far better than he's done in the other states that have voted so far. Does that express to you that either Mitt Romney's voters weren't very energized and stayed home, or that a lot of voters there were casting an anti-Romney vote?
No, I think this is, this primary is about the democratic process and a great discourse at a time when our country is facing great challenges. I think people are grappling with, how do we make certain that we turn this country around? And that's why they're turning to Mitt Romney. That's why you're seeing, the momentum building in his direction. They know that, a lot of voters told me this is not just about them. This is not just about their local economy. This is about the economy that they're going to hand their children. And they want this country turned around.
Okay. Congressman Mike Turner of Ohio's 3rd Congressional District, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Now we're going to turn to Oklahoma, where we've only seen 10% of the vote counted, 10% of the polling places, and Rick Santorum is a couple of thousand votes ahead of Mitt Romney. We're not prepared to forecast a winner there yet, but NPR's John Burnett is at the Oklahoma City Marriott, the GOP watch party. What are the GOP people, what are they watching right now?
Well, this is a very comfortable state for Rick Santorum. There's not a lot of his supporters here in the ballroom tonight. There are a lot of somber Romney people here. But this is a state with many GOP primary voters who self-identify as evangelical Christians. They like to call themselves the reddest state in the nation, where not a single county voted for a Democrat for president in the last two presidential elections. And so Rick Santorum was here this weekend. He was at a church near Tulsa. He said that Oklahoma is my home state on Super Tuesday. And with his very comfortable lead at this moment, it sounds like he called it right.
Mitt Romney, what have you heard from voters in Oklahoma about Mitt Romney?
Well, it's almost as though I went out and talked to a number of voters today, and it's almost like they were those who were Romney supporters were holding their nose in voting for him. That, we feel like he's electable, but we either like Newt better or we like Santorum better. There was a longtime watcher here said Oklahomans don't like a fake. Romney is like Pat Boone. He covers everybody else's hits. If that's any insight into that.
He's not the Fats Domino of the Republican Party, is what you're saying.
Apparently not.
Well, it looks like a good night for Santorum in Oklahoma, although we're not yet prepared to forecast a winner. Well, Oklahoma, the times are not as hard in Oklahoma as they are in many other states of the Union, are they?
That's right, and I think perhaps that's maybe one reason why many of the Santorum voters are not putting the economy first, and they're putting out front Christian faith first. This state has been somewhat protected from the recession, a bit more than some of the others. you know, with its a strong oil industry. And so, yeah, so it's it hasn't been certainly as dire as up in the Rust Belt.
Okay, John, thanks. That's NPR's John Burnett in Oklahoma City, a state where, at least so far, with 15% of the polling places reporting, Rick Santorum is leading by a couple of thousand votes over now Newt Gingrich, who's pulled into second place there.
And back once again to NPR's national political correspondent, Mara Liasson. Mara, looking at the Ohio returns, right now, early returns still, but Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum tied just about evenly with about 38% of the vote. One thing that typically emerges from Super Tuesday is that the field gets winnowed, and I'm not sure we're looking at a field that's going to get winnowed after tonight.
Well, I don't think it'll get winnowed. It'll get de facto winnowed. I guess that's what I'd say. There's no incentive for people to get out of the race if they have a super PAC with a big billionaire funder behind it. Newt Gingrich has said that he needed to win Georgia to continue. He won Georgia. I don't know what his path is to the nomination, but as long as he has Sheldon Adelson supporting his super PAC, he can keep on going.
And he says, I'm on to Mississippi, yes, Alabama,
yes,
Kansas.
There are a few more southern states where he might be able to pick up some delegates. I think that super PACs and proportionality really keep this race going. But when you say there's pressure on people to drop out, the reason to drop out is when you run out of money and you just literally can't go anymore. And I don't know if these guys are going to run out of money as long as the super PACs are around.
Yep.
But their viability shrinks incredibly, even if they're still walking around in the race.
Okay. NPR's Mara Liasson, thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is special coverage from NPR News. From NPR News, this is live coverage of Super Tuesday. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. Republicans went to the polls today in 10 states to pick a presidential candidate.
And so far, Mitt Romney has won in three of them. According to the Associated Press, he's the victor in Vermont, Virginia, and Massachusetts.
But in Ohio, a toss-up. Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum are neck and neck with most of the ballots yet to be tallied.
Meanwhile, the AP projects Santorum will win in Tennessee.
And Santorum also leads the early tally in Oklahoma.
The AP says Newt Gingrich has won his home state of Georgia.
There are lots of bunny rabbits that run through. I'm the tortoise. I just take one step at a time.
More than 400 GOP delegates are at stake this evening.
This is special coverage of Super Tuesday from NPR News. Joining me in the studio, NPR senior political correspondent, NPR's Mara Liasson. Excuse me, White House correspondent.
No, political correspondent. You had it right the first time, except for the senior part. I'm still junior.
Okay, back to Ohio. I'm sorry about that. Back to Ohio. We have a very close race in Ohio. What does that mean?
Well, it means that Rick Santorum could still win. I think that Romney needs to do well in Ohio, and I think he's still well positioned to get a bunch of delegates because Rick Santorum didn't have the organization or the resources or something to make sure he filed his delegates late in all the congressional districts. And he's going to lose out, I think, the chance to win 18 delegates in three congressional districts. So Santorum could still win. I think Santorum needs to win Ohio if he's going to make the argument that he can slow Romney's momentum. It might be a slow plodding momentum, but Romney is in pretty good shape to slog it out till he gets 1,144 delegates.
But at some point, in addition to having some super PAC that's doing a lot of advertising, don't they have to have some money to pay for a campaign so that someone will get their names
but
on the ballot?
But campaigns aren't that expensive. They can still go from state to state. They filed in these states. I think the chance to get on the ballot is long past. I mean, Virginia, you saw that nobody got
to do advance work.
To do advance work, yes, but look at Rick Santorum's advance work. It's not very good now. It's very bare bones. He doesn't have the slick campaign with the billboards and the posters and the nice seating and the sound system like Mitt Romney does. You don't need that. The super PAC that can put your commercials on the air, that is the lifeblood of a modern campaign.
Okay. Mara Liasson, thanks.
And now to Boston and to NPR's Ari Shapiro, who's at Mitt Romney headquarters there. Ari, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, and so is the crowd dancing to this live band and, you know, counting the delegates. They keep saying they're focused on the delegates. It's not about which states are important. It's not about how he does in Ohio, although Ohio they would like to win. They say delegates, 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 because that lets them focus on the organization, the math, the infrastructure, all of which is an advantage for Romney, and not the places where they have outspent their rivals dramatically and are still struggling to win.
And counting up the delegates may not be the sexiest narrative for a campaign. I mean, if you look at the states that Mitt Romney has taken so far tonight, Massachusetts, the state where he was governor, his home state, Vermont, neighboring state to Massachusetts,
exactly.
And then Virginia, which is this weird state, there's an asterisk beside it because Newt Gingrich and Rick Santorum weren't on the ballot. It was just Mitt Romney and Ron Paul.
Right, and you know, that's the point. That I just spoke to this Romney advisor, Mark DeMoss, who says it's really easy to glorify a scrappy, grassroots, up-by-your-bootstraps campaign like Rick Santorum's. But he says when you look at the fact that Rick Santorum was not able to qualify for the Virginia ballot, it shows you that, you know, in November, the Democratic opponent is not going to be a scrappy, up-by-your-bootstraps guy. It's the most organized campaign in the history of American politics, the Obama machine. They're trying to say Rick Santorum may be this great come-from-behind story, but the Republicans are going to be crushed if they put Rick Santorum up, is what this Romney advisor, Mark DeMoss, said to me.
Be crushed. They're talking about, like, you don't want concrete shoes, I think, on the nominee, is what I think what the Romney campaign has been saying.
Right, right.
I wonder what they would make of Newt Gingrich's line that we heard a little while ago. There are a lot of bunny rabbits in this race. I'm the tortoise. The idea being slow and steady wins the race.
You know, I think, honestly, everybody is trying to frame themselves as the underdog. In Michigan last week, and then again in Ohio, we heard the Romney people saying, he's come from behind. He's closed this wide gap that Rick Santorum had way ahead of Romney. Of course, he managed to do that by outspending Rick Santorum by a huge margin. But everybody likes to frame themselves as the underdog, the tortoise relative to the hare, the come-from-behind kid.
And we're hearing some Romney chants behind you. What exactly are they rocking there at Romney headquarters tonight?
We got a little bit of Party in the USA, a little Moves Like Mick Jagger, and I even heard you just now play that funky music, White Boy, an interesting choice.
I'm not even going to go there. NPR's Ari Shapiro at Romney headquarters in Boston tonight. Thanks so much.
Mara Liasson, does the Newt Gingrich campaign, can you actually trace a line from here, the win in Georgia after South Carolina, and assume that he does well in Alabama and Mississippi in the coming weeks? Can one conceivably do the math to get to winning the convention in Tampa?
No. And that's
what the long answer you're saying.
That's the long answer. I think that is going to be the story of this campaign going forward, is that it's going to become harder, mathematically harder and harder to imagine how anybody but Mitt Romney gets to 1,144. He's still a long way away. But I guess the reason why this race will continue for a while more is because as long as there are proportional primaries where Santorum or Gingrich could pick up a few delegates, they don't have a big incentive to drop out. But I do think that it gives Romney, if he comes out of tonight with a healthy delegate cash, which I think he will, it gives him the ability, the luxury to start turning his attention to Barack Obama and the general election while he kind of fights off these other guys with one hand.
Okay, well, we'll see how the big race in Ohio comes out. Romney and Santorum still very close there on this special coverage of Super Tuesday from NPR News.